Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts for the good news. Let us pray. Majestic God in Jesus Christ, now show us the power of your redemptive plan and how you acted in the man Jesus to intervene. Help us to hear your word and to receive your redemption through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen. As you may see, we are preaching in a series of sermons that are connected to each other. The sermon on the image of God in which we are made, how we have distorted that image through our own sinfulness, the grace of Christ given as a gift to intervene, and now redemption and how God did that intervention through Jesus Christ. A pastor received a letter after his sermon on sin. Dear Brother Eli, your sermon on sin was very moving. It covered my personal situation so intimately well that my lawyer will be in contact with you next week. It is dangerous to preach on sin unless there is a solution. The solution is that God sent Jesus to lay down his life for us. That movement of Jesus to come to us and offer his life voluntarily and freely is what we call redemption. It is the act of somebody else paying our bill. My wife and I were having dinner at a wonderful hotel in Dallas, Texas in 1985. We had gone there for Valentine's. It was an expensive dinner. It was a wonderful time to be together, to be there just to talk to each other, even though we love our daughters, who were 6 and 3 at the time. It was wonderful to have space just for each other. After this wonderful meal, I asked the waiter for the bill, and he said, "I'm sorry, sir, your check has been paid. You don't owe us anything." Shocked, I looked around in a rather empty restaurant on a Tuesday night, and someone across the restaurant was waving their hand at me. I looked over and went over to thank them, and they said, "How are you, Pastor? I noticed the two of you. I have to be here tonight without my wife doing business. I missed her so much that I decided it was worth it to honor you and pay your bill." Have you ever had someone else pay your bills? Someone else take care of the amounts that you owe? The message of redemption is that God is paying our bills. We have stacked them up in history through actions that hurt other human beings we call sin, and it all accumulates to big pictures of evil and misuse in the world. We contribute to the demise of humanity, and there is no way out unless somebody else pays our bill. When I looked up the word redemption on the internet, I found 37 million options. Let's just say that redemption is a very important topic for our world today. Shoes, clothes, rock bands, even goth rock, movies, books, plays, security plans, even a kind of Botox. If you want to redeem your face, use our Botox. Investment philosophies, games, tattoos, consultants, headhunters, even vampire stories, and a story about the Indianapolis Colts being redeemed this year after the loss last year. Redemption is everywhere. We hunger for someone to intervene and make right that which we know is wrong. And we know that only God can redeem us. Redemption is to set free that which is being held tightly by an outside power. It is to release a captive, to break open the cage or the prison where a person lives, and to let them go free. It is the act of a higher power, when one is in control of a power that one cannot get away from, my freedom has been lost. I've lost the ability to choose my own way. My resources are inadequate to deal with a superior power. I'm held captive. I'm enslaved. I'm controlled. There's only one other who can get me out of my captivity. It is that purchase that the other person makes of my life that is the act of redemption. And in Jesus Christ, we see that through his life, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection, he has paid the full price for us. He paid the ransom for all human beings because we cannot pay it ourselves. Paul refers to the importance of the scriptures consistently teaching us this message. Matthew 20, Jesus' words, "Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Jesus' own words. The words from the Old Testament, Isaiah, "Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Acts, "God purchased the church with the blood of his own Son." Romans, "All sinners are now justified by the grace of God as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood." 1 Corinthians 6, "You are not your own, you were bought with a price." And on and on and on, over and over and over again, the affirmation of redemption is huge throughout Scripture. We cannot pay the price for our own captivity. Only God can get us out of trouble. We cannot redeem ourselves. Bob Marley was known for his introduction of reggae music to the Western world, and one of his most popular songs called Redemption Songs. And the words of the Redemption Songs go like this: "Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? Redemption songs." Bob Marley, when he was writing that, was diagnosed with cancer. He was dying. He was in great pain. And he was planning to take his own life as an assertion of his own redemption from cancer. He was calling for other people to take control of their own lives and do the redemptive acts in the world. Leo Tolstoy also had a play called Redemption, a play in which a man is very concerned that his wife does not love him. She loves another man, and he threatens to kill himself, but he runs away instead. He falls in love with another woman, and her parents don't like him. He threatens to kill himself, but fails, and he runs away again. He goes back to introduce himself again to his wife, who is remarried. And she is accused of bigamy. She is brought into court. And he testifies on her behalf that it wasn't her mistake, it was his. And then he does kill himself. And Tolstoy calls that an act of redemption. Sounds pretty grim, doesn't it? There are people in history who have committed suicide in order to redeem their lives or the lives of another. Redemption is not accomplished by our own view of reality. We cannot redeem ourselves. There's a great poem called Invictus by William Ernest Henley. And in that he says, "In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced or cried aloud. Under the bludgeoning of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond the place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul." a strong, heroic assertion that I can redeem myself because there's nobody else to do it. But everybody knows, deep down inside, that that's a faulty view of redemption. I have rebuilt rotator cuffs on each shoulder. I was not able to redeem my shoulders myself. I needed the help of an orthopedic surgeon. The second time I fell, I was walking with my daughter up to a restaurant and stumbled over the curb. It was a most embarrassing moment and fell on my left shoulder and crushed it. In the irony of God, the first person over was about a 90-year-old man who was on a walker. And he reached down and said, "Can I help you up?" I'll tell you, I did not believe I could redeem myself at that moment. You know the times in your life when you got into a place where you could not redeem yourself. You needed outside help. I had an 11th grade teacher in high school who said I was a lousy writer. She'd never experienced somebody who was as smart as me, as terrible a writer as I was. Thank you very much. She said, "What you need is some real coaching and writing." So I went to an advanced composition class the following year, and that advanced composition teacher redeemed my writing. I could not do it on my own. She coached me to the place where I could write the winning speech for the graduation. The great mystery of redemption is that Jesus Christ is the only one who can get us out of our mess and our misery. And the way he does that is to become one of us. He is to come to live among human beings, to be among human beings, and to offer his life, to suffer and to die, because we kill him. We oppress him. We lay our pain and our anger upon him. The redemption of God is that God does not return the favor to us. Jesus dies for us. He allowed us to kill him rather than he executing us. He allowed us to abuse him rather than he prosecuting us. He allowed us to condemn him rather than he condemning us. He allowed us to pass judgment on him rather than he sentencing us. He allowed us to pin false charges on him rather than him filing real charges against us. But redemption always has a call to it. We are redeemed for a new life in the resurrection to do new things. We are forgiven in order to forgive others. We are reconciled in order to reconcile people who are at conflict. We are healed in order to provide healing for other people. We are bought back so that we can buy back others. As redeemed people, we have a choice because we are now free to choose to be redemptive. Every act, decision, and glance, relationship, word, conversation, moment, and plan is an opportunity for the redeemed to be redemptive. We've spent a lot of time recently in the life of William Wilberforce, who believed because Jesus had redeemed him from his own sin that he was called to wipe slavery out of England completely, to redeem all slaves. And by the grace of God, he pulled it off. I have an observation about behavior in Washington, D.C. I think there are many of us that kind of exist among us who call themselves redeemed in order to basically condemn us. I call these people conversational terrorists, emotional bombers. They're just waiting for the opportunity in the conversation to zing you with their Scud missile. They are killers in the guise of Christian friendship. Passive-aggressive, with an inner and hidden anger, they love to do sneak attacks when you're least expecting it. They call themselves redeemed, but they actually practice condemnation as a way of life. Beware of those kind of people, and don't be one. We cannot redeem ourselves. We have a higher power in Jesus Christ who can redeem us. Every person who's in Alcoholics Anonymous knows that they cannot cure themselves from an addiction. It needs a higher power. Redemption is not by myself. It is only through Jesus Christ. And that is why Dorothy Day wrote a rebuttal to Invictus. She said, since his the sway of circumstance, I would not wince or cry aloud under the rule which men call chance. My head with joy is humbly bowed. Beyond this place of sin and tears, that life with him and his the aid, despite the menace of the years, keeps and shall keep me unafraid. I have no fear, though straight the gate. He cleared from punishment the scroll. Christ is the master of my fate. Christ is the captain of my soul. I was called in to visit with a rather notable man who had made a great reputation in his life. He was laying on his deathbed and he knew his time was running out and he was in high anxiety. I'm feeling very anxious, he said. I've made a mess out of my family life. I am famous and I have been respected around the world for my work, but I've ruined my marriage. I've confused my children. My wife hates me and my kids have deep emotional problems. I have made so many mistakes. I carry so much guilt. I feel so much inner pain. I fear death, for I think that I have made my life a chaos and I have destroyed my family. I don't think God will forgive me. What a terrible place to be on your deathbed. I could only come up with one thing to say to him. Your situation is the reason why Jesus died. Jesus paid the full price. Jesus has given his life so that you can be freed from the guilt that you carry so you don't have to carry it through death. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I came back the next day. He said, oh, I feel so much better. I feel so much freedom from that anxiety and guilt that I was experiencing. I have finally found in all of my years that which I've been told over and over again, that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe it. I'm ready to go. Do you believe it today? Do you participate in redemption? Do you believe that God has paid your bill? Let us pray. Lord, now take all of our sins, all of our guilt and shame, all of our mistakes, and let us put them on Jesus, who died for all of our sins. Let us believe and live as though Jesus paid the bill. It is in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit we pray. Amen.